This is Phil Farron. And I am driving home. It's Thursday today. I don't think I'm coming in tomorrow. I think all is well. Everything's puttering along. It's been a good week. Still lots of stuff to do. I mean, there's just all kinds of things going on. But you know what? Step at a time. Step at a time. All is well. Launching into we're on a kind of emergency, all hands on deck type of a project that has to do with credit card processing. So I just officially got launched into that today. I had hoped to start it on Monday, but I was tying up some loose end on some other things. And that all seemed to wrap up well. And in fact, I talked to one of the people on the project I was just wrapping up this afternoon, and they were saying how it, you know, was really helping them. So that's good. She said, you know, just being able to look it up and see the data. So it's good. Good. You know, now we're launching into this new project that's going to require some extra stuff. So we'll see, but at least I got most of the pieces. Now I'm ready. You know, today was kind of lining up the pieces and reviewing and having meetings and looking and getting a little bit of help here and there, kind of putting the things together. But it seems to be fine. I'm a little bit behind on the writing. I'm probably about 1,000 words down from where I'm supposed to be at this point, but that's not too bad. And the section I'm going into should write pretty fast. So I'm not too concerned. I'm rearranging a couple of things, and you know, last week there was some things I wasn't quite sure how they were going to work out, but I can feel them forming up. It's really, really a fascinating thing. Because, you know, you write and you set up all these difficult situations, and then and you think, how are we going to get this on? And then you hit something and that allows you to do something else, and then you think, oh, I could have this situation, and then it provides context. I mean, in these books, I always like to have a section in these books where I'm talking about a parable, and I knew what the parable was, and I was running into the end of this book, and I was thinking, how in the world am I going to get this parable section done? And then just a couple of days ago, you know, as I was just kind of mulling it here, there, and the other, it's just like, oh, I need to have that scene, and that scene can add the backdrop in, and that's, and I mean, it's because there's some of our heroes are subjected to a form of punishment in this book. And I had actually conceived of a different form of punishment. And then once I conceived of a newer form of punishment that would tie closer into the parable, then that newer form of punishment evolved to require a certain way of getting out of that punishment, or at least resolving that punishment. And then in the process of doing that, that gave rise to a setting where I could deal with the parable. I mean, it's all these cascading things that you get one piece that leads to another piece that leads to another piece that solves some problems. And I had no idea when I was back there getting to those first couple of pieces that then would resolve this other problem. I mean, it's just amazing. It's just amazing to watch it happen over and over and over again, where you're thinking, oh man, what, how are we getting, and then, oh, hey, there it is. And all you're doing is just taking one step at a time, trying to listen. You know, you could do this. I could do that. You know, it's just, so fun. It's so fun. And God is so kind, and He is so gracious. So yeah, it's good. It's good. All is well. So all is well there, all is well at home. We've actually had a small animal visitor this week. my buddy, who rents a little rock house, has been away for a couple of days, and he has a little cat. It's an outside cat. And it got really cold. It's the temperature is like 37 or something like that here now. And we're just all going, thank God it's 37. Because yesterday the high was, it was like 10 or 11 or 15 or something. I don't know. It was cold yesterday and overnight. Oy. It had gotten down, I don't know, single digits. It was funny because I was up this morning and it was supposed to be like 20 when I left and it was only 15 and it was like, oh, come on. But anyways, it was getting so cold Tuesday night that the little cat somehow wandered down to our house. It knew where the warm was. It wandered down to our house and my wife had opened the garage door and it came scampering in and she didn't have the heart to put it back outside. So the next thing I know, the cat is spending the night in the garage. That didn't last very long. The cat ended up in the house. So supposedly the cat has gotten kicked back outside. We'll see. When I get home, we'll see if the cat has actually made it back outside again. So, my beloved has a soft heart for animals. She has a soft heart, period. So, yeah. So, she said, I got the cat in the garage, Okay. Okay. Because we already have two cats and a dog. But anyway, so all is well. All is well. What else? I think that's, it's good. The grandkids are good. Had some nice conversations with friends this week. All is well. It's just good. We are moving through this life a moment at a time. And I am doing my best to be constantly grateful for His presence in my life and for His help in my life, for all those whispers that I try to hear, and then a lot of times just respond with, oh yeah, I should do that. That's a good idea. Yeah, I should do that. We had a situation this week that on our web store that I had written the code for many years ago now, 20 years ago, because that was in 1998. And there's this table in there called hit tracking. And what it is it records every time it builds a page for someone, request. And somewhere along the line, I had it in my mind, and I'm 99.9% certain we had that we had that table to where it would archive stuff off and it would only leave about 3 days worth of data in that table and then archive everything else off, and in the archive table it would only leave 15 months because it's millions of records. So somewhere along the line in one of the server moves or something, that got shut off. Unbeknownst to us, at the same time, we had several little bots that are just hammering the web store, trying to get it to break. And so, they're just loading up that table. By the time it's all said and done, that table's got like 40 million records in it. And the database admins are looking at it going, wow, that's using up a lot of reads when we do these things. And we hadn't really noticed a performance thing, but our DBAs are really good about monitoring and seeing what's going on and trying their best. And so one of them tried to delete an index, which normally should be fine, but with 40 million records in the table, it went sideways. And then all of a sudden, the server started grinding down, and several of our websites started timing out. And so they wrestled with it, you know, for a while. And then we were all talking, trying to decide what to do. And, you know, I mean, it was my database, you know. And so I was checking a bunch of stuff. And this was like Tuesday night. And I had a dinner set up with a friend at like 5:15, and it's 4:45, and I said, you know what, I can cancel my dinner. And they're saying, no, don't cancel your dinner. And oh, just a second, my beloved is calling, I'll be right back. Okay, anyways, so she's gonna get her car worked on tomorrow. Anyways, so it's 4:45, and you know, I'm saying, well, I could cancel. No, don't cancel your dinner. They said, don't cancel your dinner. I said, okay, well, I can come back afterwards. And they said, oh, we'll let you know what happens. You know, maybe it'll get done with the index and then we can get that, you know. And I walked over and I said, well, let me check on a few things. I walked over and I came back. And, you know, I just said, you know what? I really think we can just truncate this table. Now, normally you don't do that. Because normally, I mean, you truncate the table, it's gone. Poof, just like that. You know, that 40 million records just evaporates into the ether. But we had a backup, and I was 98% sure that nobody was using that data again. And so I came back over, and I said, you know what? We talked about it, and I said, I think we just truncate this table. I said, I don't think it's being used. And they kind of said, well, I said, well, let me go do a couple of quick checks again. So I went back over, I looked in the stored procedures. Sure enough, only the stored procedures that I knew about were doing anything with it. Swept my source code really quick, looked down. It was like, yeah, this is all just tracking page views and, you know. So I walked back over there. I said, I really think we can do this. Really, I think we can do this. And so they said, okay, you know, database administrators don't normally just truncate tables. So we put it up there, and, you know, I said, okay, before we do this, let's just pause a minute. So we paused. I said, dear Jesus, if we're not supposed to do this, let us know. I took a pause and no one talked. And I said, yeah, I got nothing. Let's do it. And so even then, the database administrator, she had it up there and she had her finger on the button and she was like, okay, 3, 2. I said, yeah, do it. Well, it took, I don't know, it took probably 10 seconds. It felt longer, but we're sitting there watching it, going, come on, Bubby. Maybe it was 20 seconds. I don't know. It felt like a long time. But finally, it came back, and I said, okay, let me go check. So I went over there. The web store seemed to be working fine. It was working fine. Everything was fine, you know. Well, within about, oh, I don't know, 30 minutes, it was back up to 3,000 records, which we were like, 3,000 page views in 30 minutes? We don't think so. And so then they got to checking some more, and sure enough, there were some bots that were just hammering us, you know, just multiple times a second hammering us, trying to, and they were just trying to crack us, you know, get us to error off so that they could get information and then out of that information stage a breach. But, you know, the web store, we've been through that once, and we did an all hands on deck several years ago, 2012, I think it was. Spent the whole weekend. I think I logged, I didn't charge the company for it, but I think I logged 50 hours that weekend. And there was a whole bunch of other programmers that were doing it too. But it, you know, it was basically Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And then by Sunday at like 7 o'clock, we were back up. But God is good. You know, it was just fine. God is good. God is good. So, you know, exciting times. But it seemed to be fine. Everything sped back up at that point. We were all back up to where we're supposed to be. Everything was fine Wednesday. Everything was fine today. You know, we feel like we got out of it. And everything's good. So, step at a time. It's all good. Little quick short article today. I'm always looking for stuff that agrees with me. and my interpretation of life. So it's always fun when I come across something that does. And I came across this article. This is episode 514, by the way, I think. Which once we hit 520, that's 10 years worth of podcasts, of course. So this is episode 514, so we just have a few more weeks. Mid-March will be 520. It'll be the Thursday or Friday right before St. Patrick's Day. So that will be Leprechaun Day. And I'm just doing the same thing I did last year for Leprechaun Day because people seem to enjoy that, and that was fun. So this article is by Mary Halton. But she was actually doing a summary of a TED Talk by John Sharp, who is a psychiatrist. And the name of the article was, "What Old Story About Yourself Are You Still Believing? Here's How to Find It and Change It." So when they talk about what old story are you still believing, it's what are those things that are rolling over and over in the back of your mind that are providing context for your life that may not be true. And so we'll come back to that in a minute. What are those things that may not be true, that may not be the things that you should be focused on? And John Sharp talks about, in this TED Talk, he talks about the fact that we can start to free ourselves from these old stories and these ingrained beliefs by editing our narratives. And one of the things to me that's interesting about the framework of flesh and spirit is there's a lot of ways to describe it such that you can pull it away from any religious or Christian context, and it can still be a benefit to people. You know, because Buddhism and Hinduism, they talk about ego, and there's just all kinds of different structures, the angel on one shoulder and the devil on the other. There's all kinds of different structures that talk about this dichotomy with us, within us. You know, the Jungian malevolence, or the shadow, I think Jung calls it, and Jordan Peterson calls it the malevolence within us. There's all kinds of phraseology for it, but what it comes down to is this force of destruction within us, and how do you deal with that? And I just think it's so lovely that God has created and structuralized this world in such a way that as part of His love and His grace and His mercy, that he allows people who do not even call His name, He allows them to find a better path in life, a more successful path in life, even before they call the name of Christ. I was at a seminar, a series of workshops called Walk to Emmaus years ago, and they had one workshop that talked about prevenient grace. Just a second, I'm getting my mail. Prevenient grace. And the idea of prevenient grace was that God, even before we call His name and name His name, that God is at work. And as He is at work, one moment, I'm getting my mail, some more, there's a box down here. That even before, He is working and He's keeping us and He's contributing to our lives, because he loves us. And I find that to be absolutely true. And so when I see articles like this and I see people who are writing things that when I look at them and I say, well, that's flesh and spirit, I realize that part of this is just another way to identify flesh and spirit, but that's okay. That's okay. Because God is at work, and anything that people do that moves them more towards spirit and away from the lies of the flesh will not only benefit their lives, but get them closer to actually hearing his voice within them. And so that's always a step in the positive direction. Anyways, so the idea here is that you want to identify what narratives you're telling about yourself. So to quote from the article, this narrative is not the one that contains the objective facts of our lives. Instead, it's the, quote, the story you've been telling yourself about who you are and how everything plays out. If you want to change your life, it needs a re-edit. The problem of this story is that too often it's not accurate. And I would say most of the time it's not accurate. Writer Marilyn Robinson calls it a mean little myth. So, Sharp, who is the author of The Insight Cure, Change Your Story, Transform Your Life, explains, quote, some emotionally difficult scenes are way over-included. Just think of the things you can't let go of. And other scenes are deleted, such as the times when things did go well. The worst part about the false truth is that it becomes our self-fulfilling prophecy, the basis of what we expect from ourselves in the future. So he says, here's the things that he, and I think all these are great. The steps you can take. First of all, identify where your narrative diverges from reality. So he says he was divorced early, and he says the false truth that I held on to so dearly was just that, as I couldn't be effective in keeping my parents together. Since I couldn't be effective in keeping my parents together, I probably wouldn't have been effective at much anything else. She said, so I felt very insecure. Because I was a child, I couldn't get my parents together, therefore, what am I good for? And he says, since you've accepted your false story as the official account, it may not be super obvious. If you're not sure what it is, try filling in these blanks. So, quote, if I break a promise to myself, I feel blank. Or, quote, when someone ignores me, I feel, quote. Or, quote, when my partner or best friend and I have a big fight, I feel, quote. And he says, why these prompts? Our inaccurate narrative tends to be one that we default to when we're faced with difficulty or disappointment. Another way to help you identify your old story is to listen to your self-talk and notice when it includes statements that begin with, I always blank. I'm always blank. I never blank. Because those types of statements, most likely they're not true. Very few of us are always this or never that. Because our lives are in flux. So anyways, he says, once you've kind of identified what those things are, then step two is to kind of question it. So ask yourself, while that might have been the case when you were younger, is it really true now that what you do is never enough? He says, quote, when you view it from an adult perspective, you can see that it's not fair or just to yourselves. Which, that's good. And then three, don't beat yourself up, which is, you know, it's a good idea, because there's a reason that we beat ourselves up, because it's not really, well, it is us that's doing it, but we'll get to that in a minute. And then introduce positives into your narrative. Think about all your strengths and talents and appreciate them. While the situations that led to the false story have made you into who you are today, they've probably affected you in positive ways as well. And maybe they've made you more resourceful, more responsible, more empathetic, or more ambitious. Then leave the old story behind. So one of the ways I describe this to friends when we talk about these things is I say, try to figure out when you feel any kind of negative emotions rising, when you feel anger or sorrow, or when you feel disappointment, or when you feel afraid or anxious or depressed or those kind of things, try to step back a level and say, okay, what lie is the flesh telling me right now? Because in my parlance, these old stories are anything that the flesh thinks it can get traction on. That's where it's going to stick in the knife and twist it. But by identifying the lie, what you can do is you can step back from that. So, for instance, one of the things that the flesh is trying to get traction on me right at this moment is that we had something odd happen to a batch. Okay, all of this code, you know, batch exporting, batch transfers, has been running since 2006. So this code has been running for 13 years. We had one odd batch, first time I've ever seen it. Happened on January the 9th. We think it had something to do in the transfers back and forth when we were starting the beginning of month processing, since that happens late in January, since we're closing the year. But it got completed, but it didn't get transferred, which meant it kind of fell into a no man's land. We probably would have gotten it identified, but a church called and said, we haven't gotten our blue and white yet. And then, you know, oh, yeah, sorry. So we looked at that, and in order to get it back out of the tangle it was in, I actually had to delete some transactions by hand and then get it retransferred and those kind of things. Okay, we were very careful. We knew exactly the number of records that we were deleting. We ran the totals on all those records. They were exactly the right dollar amount. We were very careful. I had a guy named Steve right beside me when we were doing it. So between the two of us, we were very careful, et cetera, et cetera. Transferred it, everything to be fine, everything validated. It was exactly where it needed to be. It seems to be fine. Okay, won't know tonight if it actually cleared correctly, which I will check tonight. So now I have time between now and then. One of the things that happened is that we got the report as to the approximate dollar amount that's going through tonight. And it was high. It was higher than expected. A lot higher than expected. Now, I could have just walked away, but the flesh was like, oh, there's something wrong. You did that transfer wrong. Oh, there's something wrong. Okay, all right, fine. I know that's probably just the flesh, and it's probably just a lie, but instead of just walking home and let it go, then I just backed up a step and thought, okay, we probably had one of those big things come through. And so I went and checked. Sure enough, one of those big things had come through. And so now I've confirmed that, and we are actually about where we think we should be. But that's fine. You know, the flesh is still going to stick the knife in there, and then I'll just have to deal with that until about 8:45, 9 o'clock tonight. Get on. Hopefully everything will be balanced. We'll be good. But there is a measurable amount of time here that I'm going to have to wait for that. So it's about 5:15. So I have, what, 3.5 hours before that? I've got other stuff to do. The flesh is going to keep sticking in the knife and keep trying to get me. But I know what the lie is. The lie is that you transferred that wrong. Something is going to blow up. It's all going to come crashing down tonight. That's the lie. But I know it's a lie. Because we were careful. We were diligent. We checked everything we knew how to check. I double-checked that, in fact, this huge amount that we're over, we're not over. That's actually something else that came through. So, you know, but there will be no way to know for sure until 8:45, 9 o'clock tonight. And what behooves me to do then is apply some mental discipline in my life and say, you know what? I'm just going to go about what I need to go about. I'm going to focus on the things I need to focus on. Take it a step at a time. if there's a problem, we'll deal with the problem. I mean, I honestly don't think that there will be because we were careful. I think everything's going to be fine. But of course, you never know for sure until you pull up the balancing report and see what it says. But we'll pull up the balancing report at 8:45, 9 o'clock, see what it says. Usually when I'm pulling up that balancing report, I'm going, come on, be a hero, be a hero, be a hero. And then when it's all green, I go, yay, thank you, Jesus. Move on to the next thing. But that's okay. That's all right. Our lives here are not supposed to be perfect and uninteresting. They provide us, our lives here provide us the opportunity to trust Him, to rest in the fact that He is in the future, to rest in the fact that He is going to help us whatever we face, to rest in the fact that there will be victories, there will be setbacks, but every step of the way, He's going to be with us. And that's a really good narrative to tell yourself. This is Phil Ferrand, and I have made it home.